RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia asks for easier access to identify Hatch stampede victims. The Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Ministry drafts mining divestment regulation. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says Indonesia to increase peacekeeping forces. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government has asked the Saudi Arabia government to grant easier access to its medical team so that it can identify citizens who died in the recent Hajj stampede incident in Mina. Indonesia's Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, who is the leader of the Indonesian pilgrim, said in Mecca on Monday that Indonesia have sent a diplomatic note asking for access for the Indonesian medical team and doctors to directly check the bodies when these are unloaded from a container. Minister Lukman offered an apology to the families of the victims and the public if the Hajj committee was being perceived as having been too slow in handling the victims' bodies, although the fact was that they had worked round the clock. Following the stampede incident in Mina on Thursday morning, a total of 41 Indonesian pilgrims have been found dead and 10 others are being treated in hospitals, while yet another 82 still remain unaccounted for. The Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Ministry is drafting a ministerial decree that contains divestment obligation for private companies that work in mineral and coal businesses. The decree will be more detailed and contain some restrictions. Mineral and Coal Director General Bambang Gatot Aryono on Monday, September 28, said that the divestment obligation will not apply for all mineral and coal business agreements. There are some differentiating factors, such as the type of commodity, business time period, and mining area. Divestment regulation is previously stipulated in Government Regulation Number 77/2014, Article 97, about divestment obligation for mining business permit holder and special mining license holder up to 51% within 5 to 10 years of operation period. ESDM Secretary General Teguh Pamuji said the divestment obligation must be specifically regulated in ministerial decree. He ensured that the new regulation will be more complete and have stronger legal certainty. Indonesia will assign about 4,000 personnel for the United Nations peacekeeping operations until 2019 due to an increase in the number of conflicts globally, Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated in New York Monday. Yusuf Kalla is in New York along with Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Ambassador or Permanent Representative for the United Nations Desra Percaya to attend the 70th United Nations General Assembly. He explained that although there are 100,000 peacekeepers, but he believes that the number is still not adequate and should be increased. In the meantime, Foreign Minister Marsudi remarked that Indonesia had proposed the inclusion of more non-permanent members in the United Nations Security Council. She added that Indonesia continues to lobby with other countries so that there are additional non-permanent members in the United Nations Security Council. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has welcomed the speech given by United States President Barack Obama at the United Nations General Assembly, affirming that the United States has now become realistic about world peace. Yusuf Kalla stated at the United Nations headquarters in New York on Monday that Obama's speech is good. The United States is now more realistic to work together with countries around the world to maintain world peace. The Indonesian Vice President explained that although the United States has the experience, weapons, and large amount of funds, it cannot achieve peace alone. In his speech to the United Nations General Assembly, Obama remarked that the United States could not single-handedly solve the world's problem. Barack Obama affirmed that the United States is prepared to work with any nation, including Russia and Iran, to resolve the conflict. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Mandiri Sekuritas Technical analyst Hadian Shah predicted that amid unconducive global markets, it was probable that the JCI would rebound once it hit its lower band of 4,072. Nevertheless, he continued, the equities market situation was now quite attractive for conservative traders and long-term oriented investors looking to start accumulating and even adding to their portfolio. Meanwhile, Universal Broker Indonesia Head of Research Satrio Utomo said external sentiments had a negative psychological impact on domestic investors. Satrio expected the government's plan to issue a second economic stimulus package would reduce the effect of negative global sentiments and hold back the JCI from dropping further. The Jakarta Composite Index weakened by 49.92 points or 1.21% to 4,070.58 at Tuesday's first trading session, following a major decline in the regional equities markets. French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius praised Indonesia's plan to convey its intended National Framework Convention in Climate Change, or INDC, to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, on September 24, 2015. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi recently said that this is a real contribution from Indonesia as a non-annex country in tackling climate change. Meeting of the two ministers was held on the sidelines of the 70th UN General Assembly in New York. In this meeting, said Retno, Indonesia expressed its commitment to reduce emissions by 29% by 2030, voluntarily or up to 41% with the support of the international community. Minister Retno expressed concern with a view in France that Indonesian CPO is not environmentally friendly. However, the two ministers agreed that Indonesia will continue to disseminate information on sustainable palm oil, including during a meeting of the Conference of Parties 21 to UNFCCC or COP21 on 30 November 2015. In addition to economic cooperation, Minister Retno requested French support on Indonesia's effort to obtain short-stay visa-free facility for Indonesian citizens to Schengen countries. The last item, the Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembong launched the ASEAN Economic Community AEC Center on Monday in Jakarta. The launching of the AEC Center is one of the Trade Ministry's efforts to promote the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community on January 1, 2016. Thomas Lembong said the ASEAN Economic Community Center is important so that all parties can obtain the latest information and developments regarding the ASEAN Economic Community. Therefore, Indonesia can maximize the benefits of the ASEAN Economic Community.
AEC Center ini inisiatif yang sungguh-sungguh benar-benar sangat penting The AEC initiative is very important. We all know that the AEC Asian Economic Community will take effect in the end of this year. And this is a historical event. ASEAN was established in 1967, and every decade there is progress in the process of social, cultural and economic integration in the Asian region. Finally, perhaps, at the end of last decade, until this decade, there have been special efforts to encourage more powerful economic and market integration through the AEC.
On the same occasion, the Director General of International Trade Corporation, Bahrul Khairi, said the AEC Center was established to provide trade consultation and services and to educate the public on the developments and opportunities of the ASEAN Economic Community. Moreover, according to him, the AEC Center can provide business advocacy services for the ASEAN market. The AEC Center also aims to improve business competitiveness and to increase export to the ASEAN market as well as to the ASEAN's trade partners. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia asked for easier access to identify hatch stampede victims. The Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Ministry drafts mining divestment regulation. Vice President Yusuf Kalla says Indonesia to increase peacekeeping forces. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on Indonesia must not lose against fish thieves. Related to illegal fishing, Indonesia has launched its strong determination. The state must not lose. That was the statement often said by the Minister of Marine and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti. Since he was assigned in the working cabinet of President Joko Widodo administration, Minister Susi Pujiastuti has always said her determination to eradicate illegal fishing in Indonesian waters. Friday last week, Minister Susi Pujiastuti visited Wei Island in Sabang to see MV Silver Sea 2 captured by the Indonesian Navy ships KRI Teuku Umar in Sabang waters, 83 miles off the island of Sumatra on August 12, 2015. The Thai flag vessel was arrested for allegedly accommodating fish stolen from Indonesian waters. When arrested, the ship with 19 crew brought mixed fish weighing almost 2,000 tons stored in the refrigerator. The arrest of the ship, of course, increased the number of ships suspected of robbing Indonesia's marine wealth. Until June 2015, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries have arrested 74 illegal fishing boats comprising 39 foreign and 35 Indonesian vessels. Efforts to combat the thieves of Indonesian sea wealth have attracted the attention of several countries. Some countries even have expressed a desire to learn from Indonesia concerning the handling of illegal fishing. But no efforts without challenge. Similarly, the efforts to combat thieves of Indonesian marine wealth, although have to face claim from the ship owners or take a legal action against the corporation which were allegedly involved in illegal fishing activities in the Indonesian waters, the country must not lose to illegal fishing. How much of Indonesia's marine wealth which has been enjoyed by certain parties who have no right to do so? Minister Susi Pujiastuti asked law enforcement agencies to implement a variety of legislation in order to ensnare the perpetrators of illegal fishing. It is an attempt to overcome this crime in the Indonesian waters and certainly should get primary attention. Limitations in Fisheries Act need to be covered by other laws, among others, the Shipping Law, Law on Corruption, Labor Law, and the Customs Act. Through diverse approaches, law enforcement can be further optimized. Not only the theft of fish, but other related criminal offenses. Hopefully, with a variety of approaches, the wealth and glory in the ocean can become an Indonesian power, which in turn will make Indonesia the world maritime axis. Well, that was commentary from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Indonesia must not lose against fish thieves. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with what occurred on September 29, 1954, the convention which approved the establishment of the European Organization for Nuclear Research is signed by 12 European countries. The European Organization for Nuclear Research is a board set up by 12 European countries to discuss the development of nuclear physics research facility in Europe. The convention which approved the establishment of the organization was signed on September 29, 1954 by the 12 member states. In 2005, the European Organization for Nuclear Research employs about 3,000 people. We move to September 29, 1955. Indonesia holds the first general elections to choose members of the House of Representatives. Indonesia held the first general elections in 1955 in two phases, the first for the election of members of the House of Representatives and the second stage to select members of the Assembly or the state agency assigned to form a new constitution replacing the temporary constitution of 1950. Members of the armed forces and the police were then participated in the voting. The first phase of the election ran in as orderly, disciplined, and without many politics and pressure from anybody. In the first phase of this election, the National Party of Indonesia, PNI, came out as the winner with the most votes and won 22.31% of the vote and was entitled to 57 seats out of the total of 260 legislative seats contested. We end with September 29, 1966. Bechuanaland gained independence from Britain and was renamed the Republic of Botswana. Bechuanaland is a country located in South Africa. Bechuanaland territory formerly was taken over and colonized by the British on March 31, 1885. After about 81 years as a British colony, Bechuanaland gained the independence on September 29, 1966 and was renamed the Republic of Botswana. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Mina Tragedy Repeated. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. A horrific stampede killed at least 717 pilgrims and injured hundreds more on Thursday on the outskirts of the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia, the deadliest tragedy to strike the annual Hajj pilgrimage in more than two decades. At least 863 pilgrims were injured on the crash, said the Saudi Civil Defense Directorate, which provided the death toll. The tragedy struck as Muslims around the world marked the start of the Idul Adha holiday. It was the second major disaster during this year's Hajj season, raising questions about the adequacy of measures put in place by Saudi authorities to ensure the safety of the roughly 2 million Muslims taking part. A crane collapse in Mecca nearly 2 weeks earlier left 111 people dead. Thursday crash happened in Mina, a large valley about 5 kilometers from Mecca that has been the site of Hajj stampedes in years past. Mina is where pilgrims carry out a symbolic stoning of the devil by throwing pebbles against three stone columns. It also houses more than 160,000 tents where pilgrims spend the night during the pilgrimage. According to the Saudi Civil Defense Directorate, Thursday's tragedy struck during a morning surge of pilgrims at the intersection of streets 204 and 223 as the faithfuls were making their way towards a large structure overlooking the column. The multi-story structure known as Jamarat Bridge is designed to ease the pressure of the crowds and prevent pilgrims from being trampled. Head of Regional Working Committee of Indonesia in Mecca, Harsyad Hidayat, explained until Sunday, September the 27th, the number of Indonesian pilgrims who died from Mina incidents increased to 22 from 14 the previous day. In addition, the number of pilgrims reportedly had not returned has been reduced from 112 to 99 people. According to Arsyad Hidayat, his team would continue to check several hospitals to ensure the existence and condition of the pilgrims from Indonesia. Related to that, Speaker of the House of Representatives, Setia Novanto, will speak directly to the King of Saudi Arabia, King Salman, that the management of worship and pilgrimage have to involve other countries, particularly those with large Muslim populations such as Indonesia. Setia Novanto hoped that all the problems of Hajj pilgrimage can be minimized along with their solution so that such incidents do not recur in Mina. He also urged countries that are members of the World Organization of the Islamic Conference, OIC, take necessary action in response to incidents of Mina. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Panjaitan, said the government of Indonesia is awaiting the result of an official investigation by the government of Saudi Arabia for the pilgrim accident that occurred in Mina. Well, that was Focus today on Mina Tragedy Repeated.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015 in Jakarta. We start from Kompas. In its headline, The Daily writes about President's instruction is needed. Smoke that hit six provinces for weeks has not been resolved. Unhealthy air affects approximately 20 million residents. President is expected to lead the command to overcome inaction coordination, movement of bureaucracy, and effectiveness in handling the field. During this time, the command on the field is still held by the governor. While Media Indonesia in its headline writes about hotspot is widely spread, Head of Public Meteorology Center of BMKG, Mulyo Prabowo, said, based on satellite observations per September 28th, fires began to spread not only in Sumatra and Kalimantan. According to Prabowo, the spread of fires was a result of weather conditions in the drought. In addition, they were triggered by human activity in opening fields. Republika in its headline writes about Indonesia seek to simplify an access. Indonesia asked Saudi Arabia to facilitate access to get information of Mina tragedy. Until Monday, September 28th, 41 Indonesian pilgrims died in the tragedy that took place on Thursday, 24th September. Chief of Presidential Staff Teten Mas Duki said the government will continue to ask Saudi Arabia to give access for checks and searches to the hospital to identify the victims more quickly. Business Indonesia in its headline writes about 89 regulations are improved. Today, Tuesday, September 29th, the government, along with Bank Indonesia and the Financial Services Authority, OJK, will announce a package of economic policy too at the Presidential Palace Jakarta in order to accelerate the pace of the national economy. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said there are 89 regulations overhauled so that to eliminate duplication and strengthen coherence and consistency in an effort to cut regulations that hamper investment. Listener, that was headline from national newspapers published today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian government has asked the Saudi government to grant easier access to its medical team so that it can identify citizens who died in the recent Hatch stampede incident in Mina. The Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Ministry is drafting a ministerial decree that contains divestment obligation for private companies that work in mineral and coal businesses. The decree will be more detailed and contain some restrictions. Indonesia will assign about 4,000 personnel for the United Nations peacekeeping operations until 2019 due to an increase in the number of conflicts globally, Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated in New York Monday. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has welcomed the speech given by the United States President Barack Obama at the United Nations General Assembly, affirming that the United States has now become realistic about world peace. The United States is now more realistic to work together with countries around the world to maintain world peace. Mandiri Sekuritas technical analyst Hadiansyah predicted that amid unconducive global market, it was probable that the JCI would rebound once it hit its lower band of 4,072. Nevertheless, it continued, the equities market situation was now quite attractive for conservative traders and long-term oriented investors looking to start accumulating and even adding to their portfolio. French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius praised Indonesia's plan to convey its intended National Framework Convention in Climate Change to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change on September 24, 2015. The Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembong launched the ASEAN Economic Community Center on Monday in Jakarta. The launching of the AEC Center is one of the Trade Ministry's efforts to promote the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community on January 1, 2016. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Angkon Muaki Ceremony of Lampung Province. Stay tuned. Listener, we'll introduce you to the traditional ceremony of Lampung people, known as the Angkon Muaki. In the traditional ceremony, the people of Lampung tie kinship with the Chinese community through the appointment of relative ceremony called Angkon Muaki. The customarily appointment brother or appointment relative is usually chaired by the 23rd Lordship of Sultan Scalabrock, Police Brigadier General Prince Edward Shah Pernong, who also served as a police chief of Lampung. Scalabrock Kingdom is an old kingdom in Lampung and became the forerunner of tribes in Lampung. Listener, in Lampung language, Muaki comes from the word Puaki, means siblings and cousins of the father or the mother. Muaki also means fraternity in neighborly relations, while Angkon is derived from the word Akun, which also means relatives. Lampung people really know Angkon Muaki
as the appointment of relative ceremony. People who is appointed have responsibility to raise the kingdom, and the kingdom has an obligation to protect them by custom. The decision to choose someone to become relatives cannot be cancelled unilaterally. Listener, before the implementation of Angkon Moaki ceremony, it was first held the Lapahan Saibatin or procession to welcome His Excellency Saibatin Panyakan Dalam Beliau, Brigadier General Police Edward Shah Pernong, as the 23rd Sultan Sekala Brak Yang Dipertuan. After that, the Betanggu procession before Sultan rose to the throne. Betanggu is a quatrain event. Then it was followed by a traditional Lampung dance, namely Sembah Batin Dance. After that, the show is opened by a host, a spokesman for the kingdom, and continued with the reading of prayers. Listener, inaugural Brotherhood procession begins with the first procession to read the script of inauguration read by the royal spokesman, followed by handing over the script by His Excellency Edward Shah Pernong to the people who appointed to be relatives. The Sultan handed over the manuscript to the chairman of the Indonesian Social Chinese Community of Lampung Province. After that, the ceremony is followed by embedding the royal badge, followed by Ikok Paku Kepaksian, which is sort of rhymes with two languages, Lampung and Indonesian. The script of Ikok Paku Kepaksian is handed to Her Majesty Edward Shah Pernong by the community chairman. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Angkon Moaki Ceremony. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on radio. This lesson introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ke dokter mata, or in English, seeing an ophthalmologist. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Dokter mata. Dokter mata. In English, ophthalmologist. Mata. Mata. In English, eye or eyes. Merah. Merah. In English, red. Gatal. Gatal. Itchy. Bengkak. Bengkak, swollen. Mengobati, mengobati, to cure. Tetes mata, eye drop. Sembarangan, sembarangan, recklessly. Paling dekat, the closest. Pulang kantor, after office. Antar. Antar, to accompany. Next is a conversation on ke dokter mata, or in English, seeing an ophthalmologist. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Budi and Tom at the office. Mengapa mata kamu merah? Mengapa mata kamu merah? In English, why are your eyes so red? Dari kemarin mata saya sakit. Dari kemarin mata saya sakit. In English, my eyes have been sore since yesterday. Gatal dan merah. Gatal dan merah. In English, itchy and red. Juga sedikit agak bengkak. Juga sedikit agak bengkak. In English, also a little bit swollen. Saya sudah mengobati dengan tetes mata. Saya sudah mengobati dengan tetes mata. In English, I've already given them some eye drops. Kamu harus segera ke dokter mata. Kamu harus segera ke dokter mata. You've got to see an ophthalmologist soon. Jangan sembarangan memakai tetes mata. Jangan sembarangan memakai tetes mata. Don't just use eye drops recklessly. Dari kantor rumah sakit mata yang paling dekat adalah Jakarta Eye Center. Dari kantor rumah sakit mata yang paling dekat adalah Jakarta Eye Center. In English, the closest eye hospital from the office is Jakarta Eye Center. Pulang kantor, saya antar kamu ke sana. Pulang kantor, saya antar kamu ke sana. In English, after office, I'll accompany you there. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to an Indonesian talented singer, Ruth Sahanaya, who comes to the Indonesian musical industry. Well, listener, to initiate today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta Ini Takkan Mati by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening.
Di situ aku lihat dirimu termenung setia menungguku. Tak ada lelahmu menunggu diriku di situ. Ku tahu ku takkan pernah bisa hidupku sendiri tanpa kamu. Tak ada lelahmu menunggu.
Ruth Sahanaya, who was born on September the 1st, 1966, has actively to sing professionally since 1987. Her talent has actually been presented since her childhood by following various singing competition and able to become the winner at the competitions. Indeed, Ruth's music career has lasted for more than 2 decades. It has been many songs produced by Ruth Sahanaya, who tends to present pop music dominantly, and she got various awards during her music career. As a professional singer, Ruth Sahanaya has succeeded to reach the top success in the music world. She continuously consistent to release her newly albums. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bahasa Kalbu by Ruth Sahanaya. Enjoy the song.
Percayalah, kini
The music career of Ruth Sahanaya, or better known as Ute, can be separated from Tiga Diva, or the Three of Diva, which consisted of Krisdayanti, Titi DJ, and Ruth Sahanaya. Tiga Diva group has enlivened Indonesian music world in early 2006. Unfortunately, in 2008, the Tiga Diva disbanded because of their dispute with Erwin Gutawa and Jai Subiakto as music and artistic director. On March 6, 2015, Tiga Diva showed at the stage of Hall D2 Java Jazz Festival 2015, J-Expo Kemayoran, Central Jakarta. Tiga Diva became one of main artists in the JJF 2015 at the first day. The magnitude of the three Indonesian divas also successfully attracted thousands of spectators who attended the concert arena. During their show, the Tiga Diva sang the hit songs of Kade, Ute, and Titi DJ, such as Ingin Kumiliki, Bahasa Kalbu, and Pilihlah Aku. Well, listener, that was a glimpse of Ruth Sahanaya. Before we enter the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the coming two songs by Ruth Sahanaya, entitled Ingin Kumiliki and Kaulah Segalanya. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Warna mimpi hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.